TUC Radio, Time of Useful Consciousness. Print your own community money. Since the beginning of the financial crisis, a time-honored and entirely legal tradition is being revitalized. Communities and individuals are printing their own local money. This supports barter, strengthens local economies, and the ties among people. Developed community currencies have been issuing grants to local nonprofits and interest-free loans to businesses. In 1995, I traveled to Ithaca, upstate New York, to do a radio documentary on the local hand-to-hand currency that is still in use there. The Ithaca Hours were introduced by Paul Glover, an urban historian and long-term resident of Ithaca. In the mid-90s, his work and book entitled Hometown Money spawned many currencies around the U.S. and Canada, and there is consensus that his model of introducing a paper currency is very helpful in getting things started. When I spoke to Paul, he wanted to get one point across that he felt he did not adequately stress in the mid-90s. He warns that the failure to have one full-time staff person responsible caused the demise of some of the currencies inspired by his writing. If you listened to part one of this program, you noticed that Paul Glover played an important role as the caretaker of the currency. He issued and expanded the member list and edited a newsletter that came out every 2 months with vivid personal success stories about the users of the currency. I followed him on his daily rounds. He knew everybody by name, knew their skills and their needs. He welcomed new members and explained the use of the money. A beautiful website is very helpful, but a living networker cannot be replaced. And here, from my radio documentary, are some of the voices of the people in Ithaca who made this amazing project possible. This is my report of day two in town. My first stop this morning was at the local food co-op Green Star. I watched the cashier ring up a customer and saw with amazement that the electronic register right next to the 10-day key for cash or checks had an official key for Ithaca Hours.
Well, what do you want to know?
First of all, your name and what you do.
My name is Laura Johnson, and for the Ithaca Money, I drive a truck known as Wild Woman, Wild Woman Trucking Company. Well, it's not really a company, it's just me. And I'm the person you call when you think, gee, the sofa won't fit in the station wagon. I wish I had a friend with a truck. I'm the friend with a truck. And for your Ithaca money, you get me and my pickup truck and one 53-year-old woman's worth of lifting. Next question. Am I talking to that thing right? Is it working?
Yes, you're talking really well. I'm completely fascinated. Okay. So once you earn your Ithaca hours, what do you do with them?
Would you believe music lessons? I'm learning to play the piano at my age. I was reading in a magazine you can stave off senility by keeping your mind active, and that music is a great way to do it because you've got to see the notes and have it come out your hands as music. Now, at my age, I'm playing the piano. I'm having a wonderful time spending my money on piano lessons.
Do you work here also?
I'm a super worker cashier. I don't get paid. I get work credit here.
What is that, work credit?
Oh, dear, how to explain how the co-op works. I get to buy my food at a discount rather than paying the full shelf price.
Great. I'm really glad I talked to you.
Oh, well, good.
Thank you. What is your name?
I'm Debbie Thompson.
And I understand you're earning Ithaca hours many different ways.
I'm taking Ithaca hours for rent.
For rent is really extraordinary. That's going to be very impressive to people that Ithaca hours are being used for basic needs.
Most of us have mostly basic needs, so it's appropriate to use Ithaca hours and keep the money home.
How does your tenant earn his Ithaca hours?
I believe he earns all of his Ithaca hours here at Green Star.
I talked yesterday to somebody who has a tenant from Green Star as well.
Oh, yes. I see. I saw that glee of recognition in your eyes. Alice Nipierski,
yeah,
came with her son and put in my new faucet. Very happy to have that done. A plumber.
Right. And she takes hours.
She takes hours.
Yeah.
What motivated you to take them when you first encountered the system?
Well, the person who founded Ithaca Hours was renting a room from me, and he was able to pay more rent if he could pay in Ithaca Hours. So actually, the original Ithaca Hours were designed here in this house on the dining room table, yes. So I started taking them very early. I didn't sign up for them officially until quite a bit later because other than renting the room out, I didn't feel I had anything to offer. But then when the school expanded, we stopped renting out the extra space. The school took over the space, and so the school started taking hours directly. Aside from that funny little circle that we had going here, that doesn't usually happen, but just the one-to-one interactions that take place are very nice. And also, the same family that paid in hours, the mother also worked here for credit for her child. We did some direct barter, too. So just developing those kinds of relationships encourages barter, whether or not you use a local currency. And I grew up bartering. I've always liked bartering. And I like that feeling of people exchanging services.
So you come from a culture where bartering was common.
Yes, I do. I grew up in rural New England, and bartering was extremely common there. And when I lived in rural Tompkins County, we did a lot of bartering, too.
How did that proceed?
Well, we lived on a farm that had a large barn, and we had a horse. And a neighbor had a cow farm, and he needed a place to store his hay. So he stored hay in our loft, and in exchange, we got all the hay we needed for our horse. Another farm I lived on had fields that needed to be cut for hay. And a neighbor cut the fields, got to keep most of the hay, and gave us a small amount of hay. But we bartered some of that hay for milk from somebody else who had a dairy farm and needed hay. There were lots of exchanges like that. We also made cider and exchanged cider for honey. And we made maple syrup, but we didn't do much bartering for that. That we mostly kept ourselves.
Do you think it's harder to set up barter systems like this in the city?
Well, the local currency works extremely well in the city. In the country, the one-to-one barter worked quite well. But in the city, the currency works much better. Currency is a currency. It flows. It moves. You can use it anywhere. I mean, that's what made Ithaca money, Ithaca hours work so well. So many people agreed to take them. Another thing that made a big difference was having a farmer's market, which is located in the city, because the farmers were used to bartering with their neighbors and bartering with each other at the farmers market. So they were very willing to accept a currency that could be used to facilitate barter. And that helped it take off, because you always knew you could use your hours down at the farmers market.
Where do you see the future of this system going?
Well, I think that it's getting more and more important. People are accepting jobs that are at a much lower level of wages and benefits than they used to have. And they may have a job as opposed to being unemployed, but I consider this a depression because people are underemployed. They get very few benefits. Many basic public services that used to exist are just disappearing. Nothing can be taken for granted anymore. So I see our economy in a serious retrenchment. There is so little production and manufacturing going on in this country. So by strengthening the local economy, which is what a local currency does, it's a buffer against the weakening of the national economy.
While waiting for Bill Myers, the manager of Ithaca's credit union, I watched the customers, many in their work clothes, queue up at the teller windows. Here, as in so many places in town, the yellow sign was displayed, "We accept Ithaca hours." I could not yet imagine how a real bank would accept and process a community currency that, although now widely accepted, was issued in 1991 by one respected long-term resident to Ithaca. Here is bank manager Bill Myers. Tell me a little bit about the credit union and your goals and purposes in this community.
Okay. Alternatives Credit Union is a community development credit union. It's a small subset of all credit unions, and the idea, of all credit unions is that people can save together and then lend to each other in a cooperative way. Community development credit unions say even in the poorest community, there's cash flow. And if we can capture that cash flow and reroute it back into the community, we can cause development to happen. And that's our purpose, to take a low-income community, reinvest in that community, and bring development to that community. One of the things that we feel encourages community development is if money stays in the community. There's a book that's written by some local people, and it analyzes how McDonald's works in a community. And every time you spend a buck at McDonald's, 83 cents leaves the community right then and there. So that out of your buck, only 17 cents stays in the community to do anything useful. And it's such an effective way of draining the community of resources. You could scarcely think of a way that could leave less than 17 cents in the community. Even the paper goods, the printed goods, the insurance, the construction, the design, the architects, every way possible. That little store is a way to suck money out of the community. National chains like that are hard on the local community. And people don't realize when they say, oh, I'm going to pick up a burger here or there, that it makes a heck of a lot of difference. And in fact, it really does. If, on the other hand, the business is locally owned, the people are locally employed, they buy local insurance, they buy local supplies, a lot more of the money stays locally. And that allows for development activity with that money. That's our purpose. And we saw Ithaca Hours as extending that purpose.
I like the analogy you gave in the Mother Earth article of the community being a little bit like a nation, like it imports and exports. Mm-hmm. And usually people don't think of it that way because the dollar sort of blankets everything.
If a country or a region, or in our case, a county, looks at its balance of trade and says, if we're a net importer, it's going to impoverish us. And how do we become less of a net importer of goods? And you can take that as a family, down to the family unit and say, and people understand that analysis, obviously, if I spend more than I get, I'm going to be impoverished.
Now, how do Ithaca Hours help in this worldview of yours?
The nice thing about Ithaca Hours is once they're in the flow, inside the economy, they can't leave. And that's really important, because once you set your money free inside the local economy, some portion of it at each transaction is going to end up flowing outside the economy. And that diminishes your ability to create development. Ithaca Hours just don't do that. They have to stay in the local economy. When we were coming in, there was a fellow who was looking at our chimney. I'll make a decision that I'll want to hire a local fellow to do it because I can pay him in Ithaca Hours, whereas an out-of-town firm, I can't afford to have him work for me because I can't pay him in Ithaca Hours. So there's a discipline in local currency that requires me to look at what creates development. He's got the same problem we had. Now he's got to find someone who is local who's going to take that money. So if his next stop is to get his lunch, he's going to have to find someone who has enough local business that they want to accept those Ithaca Hours. Inside the nature of that currency, there's a lesson. And the lesson is, if you feed those people around you, your community is going to be enriched. The lesson of a worldwide currency is, I'm going to go where things are easiest for me. So there's a completely different lesson in that money. And we want to encourage the money that says, I'm going to develop this local economy. If you think about your business, and it comprises, let's say, $1,000, it's really only the last few dollars that you make money on. It's not every single dollar you make money on. It's not the base. It's the marginal. And if you can increase at the margin, if you can say, I can move my business up 5%, that's real money. In fact, that's profitable money. So businesses look at it and say, how can I use these to increase my business at the top, not in the middle? How can I get new people in here? How can I get new dollars or new hours spent at my business? So from that point of view, from a local business looking at it, they're economic beings looking at it, and they're saying, if I can increase my business 5% using these Ithaca Hours, it will be phenomenal because that's all profit for me. That's an economic way to look at it, and they're right. On the other hand, what happens is individuals, and if you're looking at an individual who is unemployed or underemployed and has an opportunity to sell additional services beyond what they sell. So let's say they work as a secretary, and unfortunately in this community they're terribly underpaid. at their work, there's not much they can do to increase the amount of income they take home over a short period of time. They can work hard, but that won't get them more money over the short term. They probably can't work longer hours because their boss won't want it. So they're kind of stuck in the income. What can they do? Well, there are other skills that they can sell. And that's where, in terms of low-income communities, that's where a great impact is. You have a lot of people with a lot of time and skills and not much money. So it allows people to kind of bootstrap themselves into the system. Paul might have mentioned we've started a pilot program with the Department of Social Services to say, where's the actual community safety net for people? Not the governmental safety net, but what's the support system between people? And if you look at traditional communities, a lot of it comes through barter systems. Or in Korea, they have women's groups that have credit systems between those groups. In India, the Grameen Bank in Pakistan has started out for credit between women rag dealers. There's the Worldwide Women's Foundation. A lot of groups in developing countries have said small amounts of credit or small groups working together can create wealth for individuals. What we're looking at is looking at traditional barter systems and saying if you're a rural person, barter is a part of your heritage, and increasing your wealth through selling off some wood from your woodlot, through trading services, if you have a tractor that you can plow somebody's field, it's really a traditional way to operate. We're, in a sense, re-legitimizing that level of barter, encouraging people to say that your wealth exists because of the community. It's not that you're a separate player that becomes a wealthy person and puts a gate around it. It's your wealth exists because you are a part of a community and that community is wealthy. If the community is impoverished, you're impoverished. And establishing a barter system reveals the community network. That's, in a sense, where the real magic occurs, is on the individual level, not on the business level. It's not the first act of bringing an Ithaca Hour into circulation that creates development, although that creates a little. It's the circulation that creates value. It's, I think, a great educational tool. Printing our own money in some way really legitimizes us as people, rather than saying it requires someone in Washington to legitimize our financial efforts, that our financial efforts are made right by Washington. They're made right by ourselves, and by seeing that, in fact, we can print our own money, we empower ourselves to say it's our own economy, and our economy is a representation of our efforts in our community. It's a way to count what happens in our community. It's not something that is created in Washington.
Your bank, the Alternatives Federal Credit Union, is accepting Ithaca Hours as well.
We started off accepting Ithaca Hours for basic fees. Overdraft charges was popular. Again, poor people running close to the line may overdraw their accounts, and be able to pay their overdraft fees in a labor-based currency made it easier for them. Money orders, traveler's checks, all sorts of fee-based transactions, we placed Ithaca Hours. As we gained confidence ourselves in the system, we moved into loan-based transactions. Mortgage loan fees became a big one, that you could do most of your mortgage closing cost through Ithaca Hours. Now, a lot of people wouldn't have enough hours to do their whole mortgage transaction cost, but knowing that, heck, I can accumulate a lot of these because I'm going to have a mortgage closing in the next couple of years, I'll pay all my fees, mortgage closing fees in Ithaca Hours is real important. We moved into business loan fees, which again allowed businesses to say, if I accumulate a few of those, the next time I have to borrow, I'll use them to pay the fees to the credit union. And that became real popular. We moved into more recently loan payments themselves, so that people who had loans with us could pay one Ithaca Hour in their loan payment. And that became quite popular. It's been fun.
How do you treat these deposits or fee payments in your own books? How do you record them?
Tellers treat them as another form, like there's ones, fives, tens, twenties, and Ithaca Hours. They're just another denomination of currency. They don't have to record them separately from the other types of currency. When they count their drawer at the end of the day, they just count their drawer, and those are counted in with it. Once a week, each one of the teller's drawers trades that into the vault so that we strip all the drawers of Ithaca Hours in the vault so that we have them all in one place. And again, we trade them for federal currency at that point. It doesn't involve much additional work on receiving them because we're receiving them just like cash.
Could any bank do this, what you're doing, or is it because you are a special bank?
No, there aren't any regulatory barriers, and we've gone over that fairly carefully. We've been through several examinations, federal examinations, since the time we started using them. And the examiners' concern are they legal? Yes. Do they pose a threat to the safety of the institution?
Did you put a number on that?
Well, we have. We put a limit of not holding at one time more than $5,000 worth. Because they're not investable, there's no good reason for us to hold on to them. And we spend them fairly much as we get them. So, again, what's really important to accomplish that rule is that when we get Ithaca hours in, we, in a fairly close basis, spend them right back out. And that's good for us and our rules. It's good for the system as well. So that non-investable character of Ithaca hours means that there's more an incentive to get them flowing around the community.
What do you spend them on?
A lot of it's on personal services. The carpenters, painters, a cleaning service, plants. We have birthday cakes for the staff, and that's one that we found lots of places that'll sell us cakes, and that's been nice. We have a recycling service. Someone recycles our office paper, and they accept Ithaca hours for that. We have someone who delivers our newsletter around town, and they accept Ithaca hours for that. We have a check off on our payroll form that staff can accept Ithaca hours as part of their payroll, and there's a number of staff that request that. We pay almost all of our bonuses in Ithaca hours.
How does your payroll service treat the payment to staff in Ithaca hours?
It's really no different. You get a payroll sheet, and it just says how much you're owed and all the deductions and stuff like that. And then usually what happens is that amount of money is credited to your account at the credit union. Instead, when you get your payroll sheet, it'll have all the deductions and then Ithaca hours, and you'll have those clipped to the payroll sheet, and then the rest will be credited to your account. So it's nothing very fancy. It's pretty simple to do. If you get paid Ithaca hours for doing a service that you normally provide, it's regular income that has to be reported. If, on the other hand, if you're having a rummage sale and you sell something for Ithaca hours, it's the same as any other rummage sale. You don't report this stuff.
So your employees, at the end of the year, they treat the Ithaca hours they received just as their income when they do their taxes?
Yeah, and in fact, on their W-2s, it's not broken out how they took the money. You earn so much money, and that's it. The Ithaca hours, we record those and keep track of them, but the government doesn't know which is which.
Could a community possibly go all on their local currency if a real crisis occurred in the dollar money system?
Well, that's happened. That's happened in the Depression. It happened in a lot of places, so that some places like Chicago, I believe, had 7 or 8 local currencies. A lot of chambers of commerce issued local currencies. So it's hard for me to imagine the depths of depression or a crisis that severe these days. It has happened before, and people responded that way, and I think we would be in better shape because we already have got one functioning. However, again, it's hard to imagine that kind of a crisis, but who knows? That's true.
That was Bill Myers, manager of the Alternatives Federal Credit Union in Ithaca, upstate New York. I spoke to him in 1995. To this day, in 2014, the credit union accepts Ithaca hours for fees and loans. You heard part 2 of a documentary on the oldest and most successful community currency in the U.S. Ithaca hours were introduced in November 1991 by the community organizer Paul Glover. Most hours were issued into circulation as annual payments to individuals and businesses who agreed to accept them for all or part of their services, and to be listed in the hours directory. While Glover was the full-time networker, 11% of the hours were issued as grants to community organizations. Loans of hours were and are made with no interest charged. They range in value from $50,000 to $30,000. That's how slowly and carefully the money supply was increased. Today, there are over $100,000 worth of hours in circulation, they've spawned several million dollars worth of exchanges. The reason that ours grew huge is because during their first 8 years, they had a full-time networker promoting, troubleshooting, and facilitating the circulation. Currently, without a networker, the system is less active. Glover gives updated instructions on how to create a local currency in his book, Hometown Money. In the mid-90s, Glover determined, and history has proven him right, that the Ithaca Hour system was strong enough to help create a permanent institution. He began inviting people to pioneer the Ithaca Health Alliance for $100 a year. Hours were accepted for part of that fee. Participating businesses could purchase memberships for their employees 100% with hours. Glover spoke with thousands of people to get several hundred to join. At a certain point in 1997, they reached critical mass, and it exploded, with members now in 46 states. Not surprisingly, Glover ran into organized resistance from the New York State Insurance Department. They tried to shut the clinic down. But Glover and the Health Alliance fought back and were successful. It's very touching to see now in 2014, online, under IthacaHealth.org, the brick-and-mortar building and the posted office hours and free services. Glover describes this model in his book, Health Democracy. Now in 2014, working in Philadelphia, Glover's orchard project has planted 35 orchards on empty lots. He is organizing the Patch Adams Free Clinic and has been invited to be the Green Party candidate for governor of Pennsylvania. More info on all this at paulglover.org or come to TUC Radio's website for all the links. You can hear this program again by going to TUC Radio's website, tucradio.org. Go to the newest programs page. For an audio copy on CD of Ithaca Community Money, call 1-707-463-2654, and I will repeat that number in a moment. TUC Radio is free to all radio stations and depends on the support of listeners like you. Your donation or order keeps this program on the air. Call anytime at 707-463-2654 for information on how to order. You can get TUC Radio CDs by mail or credit card by phone, or online on TUC Radio's secure website, tucradio.org. My name is Maria Gelarden. Thank you for listening. Give us a call.